The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app, you're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Had some sun earlier, getting kind of cloudy, bit breezy slash windy. 50 the high, down to 37 tonight. Tomorrow, kind of cloudy, some sun on the windy side, high 52. Looks like a mix of clouds and sun for Sunday with a high of 55. Sixers 109-105 over Miami last night. Tyrese Maxey, 37 points. Joel Embiid with 29. Head coach Nick Nurse on that win.
It was a super competitive game, always is. You know, I think it's always a intense, physical, lots of energy expended by everybody that's out there. And you're right, it was really going back and forth, like big run by us, big run by them. I mean, really back and forth. Again, I think it's like this almost exactly the way the last game went. We were down 8 or so with 5 or 6 minutes to go, and Kelly made a couple huge plays, kind of jump-started us back, you know, in there. And then I just thought, we were playing good defense for a long time. We just couldn't grab a rebound. We were really busting our butts to play, but we just couldn't get a rebound. And then we finally started getting them. I thought Paul Reed and KJ were huge. They were just trying really hard and snatched a few of those away. Obviously, Tyrese was super good tonight.
Sixers head coach Nick Nurse, sound courtesy of the NBA content site. They're at Memphis tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Flyers are at Buffalo this evening at 7. Head coach John Tortorella, as the season's winding down, how the team will overcome adversity, easy for me to say, and hopefully make the playoffs.
You need to do it as a team. We need to do it together. You can't look too far. You just look at each day. And we're loose. The team's loose. If you're uptight about this, you're going down the wrong road. This is the fun part of a long year and grinding through 70-plus games, and now you're there and you may have a chance to get in. You should feel really good about yourself and try to enjoy it, too. And I think, you know, we had a really good practice yesterday. We've talked enough. And I think they're ready to play. I think it's a loose group right now, and hopefully we'll get out there and do the right things.
Flyers head coach John Tortorella, and that sound courtesy of NHL.com. Phillies play at Washington tonight, 6:45. And March Madness continues, the Final Four this weekend. Couple of games tomorrow night. 11 seed NC State taking on one of the top seeds, Purdue, 6:09, followed by Alabama, a 4 seed, taking on UConn at 8:49. What else is going on? Well, we have our Pastor's Appreciation Breakfast coming up Thursday, April 18th. Looking forward to that very much with Alan Jackson from Alan Jackson Ministries joining us. We had him on the program a little while ago talking about life as a pastor.
You always have to guard your heart, and I do too. But I am still a pastor. I preach 3 sermons a week to the congregation, and I'm in the pulpit 47, 48 weekends a year. So I still live really close to the church and the people, and I do that on purpose. For many years, I turned down 90% of the invitations. And then after COVID, I really felt like the Lord said we had to do everything we could to strengthen the broader church. So I've done a bit more, like coming to Philadelphia in April, which I'm very looking forward to. But it's such an important time for the church to be the church. You know, once upon a time, we had trusted sources for truth all over the culture. We trusted our schools, and we trusted the CDC, and we trusted lots of places. And unfortunately, most of that trust has deteriorated. And then today, it's even deteriorating in the church. So I think for pastors and church leaders, anybody standing for the cause of Christ, it is such an important time. And, you know, the tools may vary a little bit, and technology shifts, but at the end of the day, Jesus is Lord is a transformational message in every generation.
It's Alan Jackson from Alan Jackson Ministries. You can catch that program weekday mornings at 6 on WFIL. And if you want to get tickets, pastors, you can do so directly on our homepage at 610, also by calling 610-729-1270. So either way, again, the date for it, Thursday, April 18th, And it can be a wonderful time. Great food, music, fellowship. Alan Jackson, as our keynote speaker, will have some prizes to hand out, and every pastor in attendance getting a resource bag. So a couple ways to get tickets, either by calling 610-729-1270, 610-729-1270. You can leave your name there. We'll get back to you. Or you can order them directly on our homepage at WFIL.com. Really looking forward to that WFIL's Pastor's Appreciation Breakfast with Alan Jackson. Of course, what else happening today? A little rumbling. It was not your stomach before lunch. It was something much larger, an earthquake, of course. And where were you? And all that kind of thing is interesting to talk about. We want to talk about that a little later in the program and actually incorporate some scripture into it, just some perspective. And I have some thoughts to share. You're welcome to share yours as well if you want to text in. Our text line is 610-500-DOVE, 610-500-3683, or you can email me, TimmyD, T-I-M-M-Y-D, at WFIL.com, whether it's just where you were, what you felt, or any thoughts on that. But before that, I want to remind folks, you know, yesterday we had quite a conversation. Evangelist Joey Perez was on the show. He was sharing his testimony and about a spiritual warfare seminar coming up next week in Telford. His story, full of twists and turns in God's power. We had more to talk about, really, frankly, by the end of the show. So he's going to be on with us again today for a while. Then we're going to get to the earthquake conversation. You're listening to The Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tim DeMoss Show podcast with AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
It is 4:11, the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL. Thank you for tuning in. I was mentioning before the break, next week, Wednesday the 10th of April through Friday the 12th, Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated and Church with Evangelist Joey Perez hosting a spiritual warfare seminar at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford. Wednesday the 10th focuses Saints Must Be in Prayer. Thursday the 11th, Who is Your Adversary? And Friday the 12th, Saints Have Power and Authority. And you can get more info on that, joeyperezministries.org, or by calling 215-520-1204, 215-520-1204. Yesterday, Joey on the show sharing his testimony. And as I mentioned before the break, we just flat out ran out of time. So today we want to hear a bit more, including about the event next week. It also might help folks to know that they can read a lot of your testimony. Is it in I Live to Tell About It, or is it spread across that book and Mysteries of Angels as well?
No, I Live to Tell About It. Mysteries of Angels, they try to kill me. Serving people shot at me and everything as a Christian, preaching in street meetings and everything. People try right. to cut me up.
Because you mentioned
11 encounters with angels in that book.
Okay, because I'm also thinking about the fact, there's two things that as you were talking I thought about. Number one is, if folks read a little bit of your bio on your site, there's a part where you talk about you can remember hating what you were doing, but you couldn't control it. And,
right.
and that whole conflict keeps coming through because you want to, but you don't want to, but you don't want to, but you don't want
to. I wanted to be a builder.
Okay.
My father tried to guide us in the right path, but he wasn't no example. I mean, I saw my father shoot a guy in the head right in front of us. I seen my father knife a guy 7 times when I was only 8 years old. When I was 12, he shot a guy in the head, and the kid didn't kill him. My father, listen to this. When we were 10, 11, 12, my father, every summer after from school, he was taking, you know who he used to take us at? Hatfield? My father was a framer, and he was also, he had 13 guys working for him, but he also owned bars,
okay.
you know, liquor stores, liquor bars and everything. He would bring us up here. Some of these are buildings in Telford. And last deal, my father was the one that did the roofs and the floors. So I wanted to be a builder. Mm. I wanted to build houses. But I got distracted.
Tell us about this, the event. And I'm sure, because you do lots of speaking. You mentioned also being in prisons and doing all kinds of, folks can find out more again at joeyperezministries.org. But we definitely want to let folks know about the event. Who should come and right. what's going to be happening?
Well, first of all, it's a 3-session. I did these sessions all over the United States, Puerto Rico, England, doing seminars, and then did street meetings right after them.
Okay.
And in 2007, when I was in England, the vicar, which is like a bishop, he wanted me to come and help them. In 2007,
okay.
I met with them. And then, 2011, and I went back to do a seminar called The Evil Forces in Spiritual Warfare. The first day when I was teaching on the Saints must be in prayer, I'm staying in Melksham, England with a pastor, me and one of my staff. That night I was fighting demons, like all battles. Because once I started teaching on Saints must be in prayer and showing people how to pray scripture-wise.
Yes.
And plus, you know, how to tear down all these things. The next day, when I went there, because the enemy didn't want it, because now I'm going to teach on who is your adversary. I'm going to show him how the enemy works. And I can show through scriptures, but I can talk from experience. When I got there, I told about 400 people from the Anglican church. The Lord showed me that in this area, there's a lot of witchcraft. So everybody looked at me, all these British people and everything. And I'm looking at them like, man, well, man, I must have said something wrong. Because a lot of pastors used to say, what are you doing in the Anglican church? They don't invite preachers like you. I said, I don't know why you say that. Because they do praise and worship just like y'all doing. I don't know. They probably be on fire now that y'all don't know. So when I was done teaching on who is your adversary, the bishop came up and one of the pastors who lived in Williamsport for 13 years, but he's British. He's the one connected me with all these people in England. His name is John First. The pastor, the bishop came up. His name is Andrew Evans. He said to me, Joey, what did you say earlier? I said, well, I said a lot of things. He said, no. You were saying something about that God showed you that there's a lot of witchcraft in this area. And I said, yeah. He said, do you know where you at? I said, yeah, I'm in Melksham, England. He said, no, you don't know where you at. I said, no, I'm in Melksham, England. He said, no, you don't know where you at. I said, I'm not understanding you. Melksham, Trowbridge, Chippenham, and Bristol is the capital of witchcraft, and you're in it. You're in it in the capital of witchcraft here in England. God always sent me to where the hardest, where all the powers of hell is at.
Wow.
Guess what? When he said that, he said, in Trowbridge, you know who was going to be there? 75 businessmen. They called themselves Men's United, which were really the full gospel businessmen. They had two members of parliament there, okay, two of the governors. And when I was done, one of the members of the parliament, his son got saved, gave his heart to the Lord.
Really?
Yep.
So at the three-night event, is it a specific theme each of the three nights?
Yeah.
Like how do you break it down, the spiritual? You know, I'm thinking, and you've seen this. I mean, if folks are just tuning in, again, Joey Perez is with us. He's an evangelist and international speaker. And this event, Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, April 10, 11, and 12, joeyperezministries.org for more info. And if folks are just tuning in now, we'll have a podcast so they can go back and listen to the thing. But your whole story is the twofold. It's the physical. It's what you see on the outside and the battles and the drugs and the gangs and all the things, the upbringing. But then there's that whole spiritual dimension, as it says in Ephesians 6, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And you know that because you've lived it so vividly.
Right.
It's easy for Christians, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, to think that that's like, I don't know about all that. I just kind of go with what I see. My wife reminds me of this. If we have a disagreement, we'll talk about it. Say, you know, we're not each other's enemy here.
Right.
Yeah, we maybe disagree. Right?
You know, when I teach on that, that's what I talk. Man is not the enemy, it's the devil.
Yeah.
The devil might be stronger, bigger, and more powerful than us, but he's a defeated foe. So I'll show you how he's defeated. But I've seen great results. The last one is saints have power and authority. Now, I'm going to share some experiences that have happened from people that I trained in street meeting. I'll tell you this one. It happened with a Mennonite church in Bethlehem.
Okay.
They had their church in Marvin Village and Pembroke Village. I had trained all these people with all of this teachings that I'm doing. Saints must be in prayer. Who's your adversary? Saints have power and authority. So there was two doctors. One was a medical doctor and the other one was a dentist. Dory Kuiper and Gary. When we were doing the street meeting, Dory came up to me when I'm doing the altar call. It was about 500 people there. And it's funny, right? Because there was a church that we had to ask them to come and back us up. They had about 300 people in the church. And then now we're ready for that. And guess what? All the lights in the church went off, every power, everything. You know, I see this whole big line of people coming. The pastor said, I guess God wants us here.
That's very funny.
Yeah, because so they backed us up.
Yeah.
But when I did the altar call, now there was this guy. He's a pastor now in Allentown. Gus Atkow, he's Lebanese. He was a guy that got saved through our ministry. He was 17 years old. He was being trained to go in buildings, blow them up and everything. And he heard me preaching and came forward. So Dory came up with this girl, said, Joey, she's bound in addiction, so pray for her. And when I went to get off, the Lord told me, no, tell her to pray for us. I said, no, you pray for her. When she lay hands on that woman that was bound in drugs, the woman just started shaking and shaking and shaking. And when she was shaking, all of a sudden, man, she hit the floor. She was completely free. So Gus Atkow did the same thing, brought a guy to me. Listen, by the time the Lord told me to tell him to pray for the guy, I sat down while him and Dory was over at, and some of the other people that went to the seminar, they started praying for people. People were getting set free and everything in the streets. I'm not talking about in no building. This was in Morvine Village and Pembroke Village, right in a lot big ground there that they had that they used for stuff like that.
Wow. What are your hopes for those three nights if folks want to come and be part of it?
You know, really, in June 30th, 1984, when I moved to Telford, I lived in Telford. I moved there in January.
Okay.
Then when I got married in 86, my wife and I lived there for 6 months. Then we moved back. What happened was that the young people from Talmadge Mennonite Church came up to me. This is back in 84. They heard my story. They said, man, we would like to see if we do something with the young people. I said, I'll do it in one condition. That y'all the ones, I buy all the materials you need to make flyers and all that. Y'all make it. Y'all send out the letters. I give you the money for that. So, yeah, and then we invite them. So, guess what we did at that? Franconia Mennonite Church. About 600-700 people wow. showed up. They were telling me a lot of stuff that their parents didn't know. That they were doing, and they were under conviction. Okay? Now, this is church people. A lot of places I go, there's a lot of mothers struggling with their kids. They don't really know what's going on. Some of them is because if they're being bullied, they get to a point where they get this anger, and sometimes they become very violent. Who's the one behind it all? The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principality rule. So I'm going to be talking and bringing it to where they can see why your children are where they are, or why a lot of the kids are doing the stuff that they're doing. You know, so I'm going to bring that into the light. Right now, the enemy's hitting me so hard. He don't even want this to happen.
I believe it. Folks can pray for sure for that. We're speaking, if you're tuning in now, Evangelist Joey Perez was on with us yesterday, simply ran out of time. So we're taking some time today to hear more of his testimony and also about the upcoming Spiritual Warfare Seminar next week in Telford, April 10th through the 12th. Details at joeyperezministries.org. You can call 215-520-1204, 215-520-1204. Again, the site joeyperezministries.org. Quick break. We'll conclude our conversation with Pastor Perez in a few moments, including more details on the event. And if you want to get a bit into the earthquake from this morning, if you have thoughts on that, feel free to text 610-500-DOVE, 610-500-3683, or email TimmyD@WFIL.com. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to The Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on The Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email TimmyD@WFIL.com.
It's 424 on The Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, Wednesday, April 10th through Friday, April 12th, Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated in Church with Evangelist Joey Perez hosting a spiritual warfare seminar at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, PA. Wednesday, the 10th, subject, Saints Must Be in Prayer. Thursday, the 11th, Who is Your Adversary? And Friday, the 12th, Saints Have Power and Authority. JoeyPerezMinistries.org has more info. It's JoeyPerezMinistries.org or at 215-520-1204. You can call that number, 215-520-1204. Joey is an evangelist. He's an international speaker, author, founder, and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated in Church. He was on the program yesterday sharing his testimony, and we had a very rich time spilling over into today. You may have seen him on the 700 Club. Joey was a vicious gang leader of the 250-member Midtown Zulu Nation Gang. He was a drug dealer in Philadelphia before his miraculous conversion by the grace of Jesus in 1979. Just want to play for you a bit of our conversation yesterday revolving around that conversion story. Joey was home when his sister handed him the phone.
And she said, Joey, somebody wants you on the phone. I grabbed the phone. I said, yeah, what's up? They said, we got Izzy here. What you want us to do with him? You want us to take him out, you know, kill him. I said, no, just hold on. I'll be there.
And who's Izzy?
Izzy, one of my drug dealers, but he was messing up on my drug money.
Okay.
So he was in the list of the two of my drug dealers, two clients.
The 17 that you were going to take
he
out?
He was on the list.
Okay.
So I told him, no, hold on, I'll take care of it. So when I got there, I got to the corner where he was at. All of a sudden, I came from running from around the corner. He didn't see me, and I grabbed him and spun him around, and I put the gun to his chest. But he was about 5 feet away, and I'm aiming at his chest. I said, where's my money? So he kept saying, oh, man, I don't have it on me. I got something. He pulled out a whole lot of it, but he still owed a lot. Yeah. So when he pulled out all the money and I had the gun aiming at him, all of a sudden, somebody pat me on my shoulder. before that lady pat me, I told her, no, you shot it all up, I'm going to shoot you all up. That's when I felt a hand. Now, I'm thinking it's a cops, because in the past 3 months, police have been pulling up on me, pat me on my shoulder, taking me to the police station, you know, because they knew.
You might not be up to something good.
No, right. Because they already know that I was a big drug dealer.
Yeah.
So what happened was when somebody pat me, I turned around thinking it's a cop. So I stuck the gun real fast in my back and put my shirt on. I looked up, a little old lady there, white hair, big Bible. And she said, "Here, young man." And she gave me 4 tracks. And I said, "Lady, are you crazy? I mean, you're interfering with me. Interfering this. I'm trying to kill this guy. You interfering." She didn't listen to me. She said, "Young man, my church is 5 blocks from here. I was praying with the elders in the church. God told me to get up and come to this corner. That there's a young man that he's going to show me that when I get here. And God, when I got here, God said, you are the young man. God is calling you. It's him that's calling you. Not only that, he said he knows you from your mother's womb. He's the one fighting this battle. He's the one that's been protecting you all your life, man." Now, this lady got me shaking now. All of a sudden, I got fat. I got angry. Get out of here. I don't want to hate this guy. And I threw all the tracks at her. So she started to run. I went behind her just really scaring her, just to scare her. I wasn't really going to hurt her. My philosophy was, I don't want nobody to do to my family, my mother, my father, something I would not do to theirs.
Yeah.
You understand? That was my faith, my belief. So what happened was, when she started running, I'm yelling, "I hate you, I hate you." This little old lady turned around. She's a little old lady. She was 65 years old. She turned around, and when she turned around, when I got real close, she said, "Jesus love you." When she said that, I flew back. When I flew back, about seven, 8 feet. My whole equilibrium and balance was out of balance. I was like going sideways. And when I finally caught myself, I yelled out again, "I hate you, I hate you." She said, "Jesus love you." When she said that, I flew back again, about 7, 8 feet again. And that time I could get my balance. She just turned around and started walking away. When a couple of my drug dealers and one of the girls that was there, who was also one of my drug dealers, she ran up. She said, "What's up with you? What's up with you, Joey? You okay? Leave me alone. Leave me alone." I forgot to kill Izzy. I forgot that I drove my car there. I tell everybody, I make it into a joke. I said, "That's the first old lady that ever beat me up, because she knocked everything out with that Jesus name."
That's just a bit from our chat with evangelist Joey Perez yesterday. What was the name of that lady?
Her name was Sister Gonzalez. I got saved 6, 7 months later through the tracks at the little lady. I kept watching this little lady in this church, Assembly of God Church in North Philly, Spanish Assembly of God. And this little lady kept always watching me. And when she kept watching me, I said, "Man, that bothered me. Like, man, why this lady keep looking at me?" So one day I said, "When I go to church today, I'm going to tell Sister Gonzalez. I'm going to tell her, man, why she keeps staring at me like that." So we finished praying. When I got saved, I didn't go around with the young people. I went straight down there with all the elderly people because they knew how to pray. I needed to pray. That's why I'm still here with y'all today, because they showed me how to pray, about 40, 50 of them. So when I was talking, one of the sisters, Nick Catalina, said, "Joey, come here." And I went, "Oh, man, Sister Gonzalez got away." So when we was coming out, me and Sister Catalina, this was my spiritual mother. She died 2 years ago at the age of 106, 65 years old. When we used to do street meeting, I would testify that she would preach and do the altar call. I learned from her. So when I came out, Sister Gonzalez was there with 2 brothers and 2 other sisters. The guy named Pepe, he said, "Joey, come here. Sister Gonzalez want to talk to you." I said, "Yeah, I want to talk to her too." So when I looked at her, she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." "You used to have an earring in your ear?" And she described it. She said it looked like an eye, the shape of an eye. And then you had a diamond holding it up. And that diamond was like $7,000. It was an earring. So I said, "Yeah, how you know that?" She said, "Did you used to have an afro and a beard, mustache?" I said, "Yeah." "Did you used to hang a 4th in Indiana?" I said, "You're not that lady, right? They try to preach to me, and I disrespect you. I'm telling you, I'm sorry." She said, "Yeah, Joey, I've been praying for God to save you. Look at how God works. I'm in the same room with the lady that I threw the tracks, chased her, and she rebuked me. I'm in the same room for 6 months already, and God already had answered her prayers." Everybody there was crying. Everybody.
Wow. Unbelievable. Praise God for that. What a story. What a good God to keep chasing you down and to keep being at work.
You're just tuning in. We're chatting with Joey Perez, evangelist. He's an international speaker and author, founder and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated in Church, be it Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, 613 Harleysville Pike, April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 7 o'clock each night. JoeyPerezMinistries.org to find out more info. Been sharing his testimony, been sharing about the event, and it's really really a privilege to have you in sharing about the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I ask you one other question? I'm just thinking about, you know, after the Lord got a hold of you, and I meant to ask you this earlier, how people took it, people who knew you before.
Well, that's why when I got saved, within 3 months, a lot of people started coming to church. They didn't believe it, and they were getting saved. A lot of my gang, I took care of them, but when I got saved, they used to hide when I came down the street. So I found out that they were hiding. I would go around the other way and catch them again.
Because they thought they would hide because they thought you were going to
preach to them.
Oh, preach to them. Yeah. Okay.
No, but the thing was that every time they were shooting dice on the street and I would come in and stop the whole game and everything, they were scared of me.
Do you think some of them were afraid you were going to do something to them?
Yes.
Like they owed you money or something?
Yeah, they thought I was good. You know, first of all, I was in a mental hospital, okay, about 3 years before that.
Yeah.
And so they still thought, you know, they already knew. My brother went and told my mom. She said, listen, everybody's talking about Joey flipping, man. He over there talking about God on the street corners and everything. He's stopping people from praying dice and everything. Why? They don't listen. They all scared of him and everything. They think he really flipped. But the thing was, right, they were scared. Some of them started getting saved. And when they started getting saved, they started seeing changes in their lives. And then after that, you know, a lot of people they hated me. People feared me. I walked the street, everybody went in the house. But see, my reputation preceded me. The thing is that they had me as a bad person all the time. I was protecting the neighborhood. You could not come in the neighborhood and do anything to anybody that lived in our neighborhood. And we was a lot of guys. We were spread out. And the thing was that a lot of people didn't know we were protecting them. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. What a story, and glory to God for all that. Of course, folks, we're encouraging them to go to Franconia Mennonite Church, April 10, 11, and 12. Again, JoeyPerezMinistries.org for that. If it turns out someone can't go to that, though, but you do speaking every now and again. It depends on the situation, or do you look for opportunities like that, or in church settings, or crusades or anything, or how does that work for you?
Well, right now, like I tell you, I was in Puerto Rico, I was in Virginia, going in prisons there. I did street meetings in Puerto Rico. This was about two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just got back, and now I'm scheduled to go to Alabama to do some prison there. I go in some churches, do some seminars, you know, more similar to this.
Yeah.
And I'll be going to Chicago next month. In April, this month, I'll be going to Chicago. And once I do speak there for a couple of days, I'll meet with some pastors also. I'm doing a 3-day revival there, but at the same time, they want me to come back to do outreaches in the street and stuff like that. So all the way up to September, August, I got a whole lot of street meetings lined up.
But folks who drop a note at least and plant a seed, it sounds like you're just living by the Spirit and say, as God takes you to go here, go there, it all out too much.
I pray. I always pray. And I was presenting for what we do is also we always try to, like, I give away a lot. We just gave away over 1,000-something books in Puerto Rico alone and in 4 prisons. And the thing is that we get people to sponsor them. So how we pay all our expenses, hotel, rental cars over there and meals and everything, people sponsoring books. So we take the books and we just give them to the inmates. And that's how we pay all expenses, a plane ticket around the country. We do the same thing too. So we always we challenge people to sponsor books so we can just give them away and all the money raised. Ain't no evangelist going to go in the streets if they ain't no offering.
Yeah. Tell me, that's.
I'm the evangelist going in the street with no offering. I can't go out there and tell the drug dealers, give me some money to come here.
All right.
I can tell you a lot of stories, man, that happened.
Yeah.
I can tell you one more, and I'm done. Okay?
Sure.
2022.
Okay.
I was preaching in the street. We're in the drug-infested neighborhood. They're not liking we're there. Okay? The guys on across the street and everything. And all of a sudden, as I was preaching, I stopped. And I said, you know, there's a young guy here. You're a backslider. I'm going to tell you right now, If you don't repent by the end of this week, you and some of your guys are going to be dead. Your mother's a Christian. You probably got brothers who serve in the Lord and everything. Everybody looking at me like, what? When I was done, you ain't going to believe this. Here comes this guy walking across the street. He came over and he pat me here and he said, can I talk to you? And I pulled to the side with him. When I went to the side, he said to me, he said, I said, yo, man, you okay? Because I see you shaking. I said, what's wrong? You on heroin or something? You need a fix? He said, no. I'm the guy. Listen, I'm the guy you're talking about. He said, wow. I own this corner, which means the drug dealers that were out there, they're subject to him. So when he said that, I said, so what's wrong? He said, pray for me, okay? I said, listen, I can pray for you, but you need to get your life right with God if you're not right with God. So then he said, my mom is a Christian. I grew up in church. The biggest drug dealer there. He said, I got a brother, a pastor in Yonkers, New York. I got a brother and pastor in Tampa, Florida. He said, you see the guy in the black pants and the red shirt and the guy next to him? I'm supposed to kill those two guys a day. I said, brother, don't kill nobody. Get your life right with God now. So he gave his heart to the Lord. I prayed for him. That was all I could do.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Man, if you read my book, Mysteries of Angels, you're going to hear a lot of stories, man.
Yeah.
And encounters.
Thank you for coming in today. It's really great. And again, folks just tuning in, Joey Perez, our guest on the Tim DeMoss Show. He's an evangelist, an international speaker, an author, and founder and pastor of Worldwide Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated and Church at Franconia Mennonite Church in Telford, 613 Harleysville Pike, April 10, 11, and 12. JoeyPerezMinistries.org, where you can find out not only about that, but the books he mentioned, how to sponsor a book, and the church, too. Folks want to come visit church. There's a lot of touch points there. JoeyPerezMinistries.org. We'll put that in the podcast description as well, so folks can find out more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, going to take a quick break.
We have some earthquake conversation ahead of us here in just a moment. Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL.
Live and local, it's the Tim DeMoss Show, weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com. Our podcast continues.
It is 4:42 on the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Earlier today, I was just down the road. My car was getting inspected, and while I was in the waiting room, I felt it. I was like, is that a truck coming through? A big truck rumbling through? Maybe they're bringing gas in or something. It's like, this is kind of a heavy truck. And then maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, I realized it was an earthquake that had happened. And I'm sure you have been made aware of that by now in more ways than one. So for starters, from earthquake.usgs.gov, the United States Geological Survey, the earthquake today near White House Station, New Jersey, occurred as a result of oblique, reverse, and strike-slip faulting at shallow depths in the crust. Although this event did not occur near a plate boundary, such intraplate earthquakes can and do occur. While this earthquake is relatively small globally, earthquakes of this magnitude are commonly widely felt in the eastern United States because of efficient seismic wave propagation in the region. Do I sound smart? Earthquakes in the eastern U.S. are infrequent but not unexpected. Then it goes on to say, since 1950, 40 other earthquakes of magnitude 3 and larger have occurred within 250 kilometers, about 150 miles, of today's earthquake. In that time range, today's earthquake is the largest. Since 1950, 13 earthquakes of magnitude 4.5 and larger have been recorded within 500 kilometers, a little over 300 miles, of today's earthquake, the largest being about 13 years ago, August of 2011, 5.8 on the Richter scale in Virginia, which that one's being brought up a lot today, too. Today's earthquake occurred in a region where faults have been previously identified and may be reactivated at any time. So, first of all, what I've read online, I'm just looking around, it seems like, thankfully, there has not been too much damage or disruption, maybe some delays at the airport, things like that. And, of course, there certainly could be some individuals closer to the earthquake who might say differently in terms of damage to their homes or whatever. Hopefully, that is not a lot of folks. When I spoke to my wife to see how things were at the house, she said, yeah, we felt it here. And then she checked the dishwasher because sometimes it rumbles. And then she said, Jesus is coming back. Not necessarily today, but just as a reminder of who's in charge,
who is Lord over heaven and earth, as it says in Psalm 146, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. And I think my wife's comment about Jesus coming back also is meant in terms of being a step closer to the Lord's return, as it talks about Matthew chapter 24, including the first eight verses. Signs of the End of the Age is how it's titled often in the Bible. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Personally, with today's earthquake, I thought of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Further into Psalm 46, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In the last couple of verses of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So that's Psalm 46. So while it is certainly interesting to talk about, including where were you today? Did you feel it? How are you? Are you everything okay? That's all good. I would suggest that today's earthquake is also a gift to each of us, to be reminded of a number of things. First off, the frailty of life. Secondly, who's really in charge anyway? Answer being God. And the good news is that we can depend on him and build our lives on him. And ultimately, to make sure we're ready for his return. If today's earthquake had been bigger, or somehow you had passed away in today's earthquake, do you know where you would have gone? Highly recommend Matthew, the last few chapters, especially 24, 25, and 27. Chock full of stuff. Great. Maybe after dinner tonight, sit around and read that. Matthew 24 talks about signs of the end of the age and the day and the hour unknown. And Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents and the sheep and the goats. What are you doing while you're waiting? The sheep and the goats. Not just waiting around trying to guess when Jesus is coming back, because we're not going to know. And then Matthew 27 even, right? We just celebrated Easter. And right before that, the crucifixion, verses 51 to 54 talks about that. At the moment, after Jesus had died, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. I'd like to wrap up the program thinking ahead, all right? So when you think about the terror and awe, whatever, the people who saw Jesus when he had been crucified and everything that happened, and they exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. You know, at least those people have time. I don't know what those people did with that information, but they had time to do something with it, right? Unlike when Jesus comes back. And there are two passages I would love, I'd love to read here as an encouragement. Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, one a passage in each one. The first one in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Verse 13, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Matthew 24, 34 to 36 to 44. To piggyback off that, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Matthew 24, 36 to 44. A couple of thoughts on these two passages. The main one is, are you ready? Today's earthquake to me is just a gift, as I said earlier. I don't think these passages are talking about keeping your eyes open 24/7, like you're waiting for someone to give you a ride somewhere and just keep looking out the window, or you're outside on the porch ready. I'm right there, I'm right here. Because that's not what it's about. I think it's talking about be ready before he returns, so that whenever he does come, you'll be ready to go. You don't even have to worry about looking out the window per se. You want to have your heart ready from now. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to think that I can see trouble coming, death especially. I think it's common for people to think that they can see when they can see when death is coming, at least have a little notice. And then if they need to make any adjustments or talk to God at that point and have some time. Of course, if you're really honest with yourself, nobody really knows that. You could die in an accident today and you didn't see it coming. You could be blindsided. Someone runs a light, whatever. So you like to think that that's the case. So I think that's also part of this Jesus saying, be ready. I used to drive for Lyft and Uber, and they had this feature where the way it worked, I haven't done it for a while, but when you arrive at the destination to pick someone up, they have a certain amount of time to come out. And at the time I was driving, I think it was 5 minutes. So sometimes you're waiting. Sometimes people are on the curb and they're ready to hop in the car. But either way, as a driver, my obligation was to wait 5 minutes and then if the person didn't come out, and that happened once in a while, they overslept, or I don't know, you never know what. You're supposed to try to call them, and are you there? Are you coming? But if for some reason there's no contact, the person never comes out, you're free to hit a button, say, I was here, and they can tell you were there for 5 minutes. You get paid, not much, but you get paid for showing up, and then you drive off to get your next ride. But you do need to wait those 5 minutes. And what I would see with passengers sometimes they were really good at it. You could tell they had their whole thing down to a science where they knew that they had those 5 minutes. And so they would brush. You could tell they're brushing their teeth. They're finishing their cereal. They're getting their stuff on. They're getting themselves together in those 5 minutes. And I guess it's the way people trying to maximize their time. But they know as a passenger, once it says, I'm here, I'm outside, they know they have five more minutes to get themselves together and get in the car before I were to drive off. That's not the case here, right? It's a big difference. You're not going to have time, and I'm not going to have time, and the people we love are not going to have 5 minutes. Oh, I see Jesus is coming. I remember what they taught me in Sunday school. Let me quick flip my Bible open, say the prayer, and get ready. From what Scripture says, you're not going to have time at the end to cram real quick or flip the switch or, in case of emergency, break the glass. I never really thought of it that way before today as I was reading through some of these passages prompted by this morning's earthquake to think you like to, human nature is like, I'll see him coming. I'll quick switch over at the end. I'll see how important it is, and I'll make the decision. But Scripture says you're not going to get that opportunity. Just like a passenger getting ready for a Lyft or an Uber ride, you don't get the extra 3 to 5 minutes to quickly grab your cheat sheet out, say a prayer. Whew, I got in. Not from what I'm reading in Scripture. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that's why he's saying be ready, because when he comes back, he means business on the spot, and it's going to be fast. So be ready. I want to encourage you to really be ready and encourage myself. First and foremost, check yourself. Are you ready? And then may it guide us as we look at other people, our neighbors and our family, not stress out and start banging on people's doors right now, although I guess there could be worse things. But maybe at minimum, or pray about and think, you know, everyone's talking about the earthquake. So maybe that could be something of a conversation piece. I don't like forced things and kind of whatever the word is, where it feels artificial that you're just trying to. But again, when you're considering the alternative, someone not having a chance to know the Lord, maybe it's really okay to stumble through a not perfect presentation. But maybe just say, you know, I've always wanted to talk to you about this. If today had been more serious, what would have happened? What do you think would have happened? And just share the hope that you have, the Scripture talks about. Not because you're, you know, being over-aggressive. Don't make it about you. Make it about Him. And really, in the end, it's going to be God's Spirit in those kinds of conversations. So I guess when this all happened today, I was thinking about talking today, just sharing some thoughts today. I really wanted to – that word that it's a gift – I think is the fact that the earthquake services and all, they say these are not uncommon. Earthquakes do happen, but not to be the overreacting, right? Not to go all over. This means the world's ending Monday. No. But at the same time say, well, earthquakes are kind of common, but not all that common. And we don't feel them. I mean, the last one I remember feeling was 13 years ago. So while the iron's hot, while there's opportunity, a natural conversation piece, maybe after checking yourself and making sure you're ready, then maybe the Lord will give you an opportunity to do that. Lord, I pray right now for those listening in this audience today and for your glory around the world, really, as a conversation about this happens, that it'd be fun to talk about. But more than that, where were you, or those kinds of things, I pray that it would be really something that allows people to have conversations with their neighbors or family, or re-enter a relationship, maybe somebody they hadn't had a chance to talk to for a while, and say, you know what, this made me think about you today. And so I do just pray that for those listening and for the body of Christ around the world to take advantage of this gift that you gave. And thank you that you're on your throne and you are the one with the whole world and the whole universe in your hands, and that you love us. What a blessing. What an amazing blessing to be called your children. So thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Christ, we give you glory and praise. Amen. That'll do it for the program today. Thanks for listening in. And pass the baton to Alistair Begg and Truth for Life next. Have a wonderful weekend.
The
Thanks for listening to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.